Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. Well, yesterday was probably one of the most decent days, I guess, in a long time in terms of the weather here in New York City. But we're back to humid and hot again. It's like we wait for that weather in the summertime. And say, oh, it's so cold, and can't wait for the summer. At least in the wintertime, you can pile on the clothes, you know. You can just do too much and not enough. Anyway, but heck with the weather. I'm indoors and enjoying a little breeze from the fan that's next to me in my, computer room, as I'll call it. So today we're going to have Esther is joining us. What about her? Okay. Well, Esther and Eunice are in the room, so you just may be hearing for them. In the meantime, the show is all about Albany. Yes, I went up to Albany and did some historic sightseeing, and one of which is the Albany Institute of Art, which I noticed I spelled incorrectly, which I'll change later. And Tamis Groft will be calling in. If she's not already on the line to call in, but I have a feeling that the person that's on the line is the person that's hosting the show with me, which is Skylar. Are you there?
I am here.
Yeah. So we will do a chatting until whoever calls in. Is Tamis gonna?
She is going to call in, and I just spoke with her a few minutes ago, and she'll
that must be her
be
right
soon.
Now. Look at that. Oh, yeah, let's see. Let's hang on. Tamis, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, okay.
Nice to join both of you. I've been listening to you.
That's great. Well, let's talk about, while I have you on now, tell us about the Albany Institute of Art.
One of the interesting things about the Albany Institute of History and Art, located in Albany, New York, is it is the oldest museum in New York State and one of the oldest museums in the country.
Really?
This is pretty remarkable to think about. But the museum was founded in 1791. And at the time, it was called the Promotion for Agriculture, Arts, and Manufacturing. And it was basically a learned society where people would get together and talk about a variety of different topics related to science, agriculture, and the arts. And all of the early members were members of the New York State Legislature. And some of the topics that they would discuss would be the best way to raise merino sheep or how to build a better butter churner.
Oh, I see. can you imagine that being a big discussion now? Yeah.
So, but then when you think about the museum, and if you sort of fast forward during the 19th century, the Albany Institute built a museum building in 1907, and the board of directors said it was just like the Metropolitan Museum of Art and Philadelphia Museum. And in fact, if you walk through, you would have seen art, decorative arts, and historical artifacts and ethnographic materials from all around the world, including.
Well, can you take us on a little tour
of the museum today?
Yeah, just kind of what's the you could do it.
sure. Well, in 1907, but then in 1926, the museum decided to be really focus on the art, history, and culture of the Upper Hudson Valley. So today we are a regional museum related to the art, history, and culture of the Upper Hudson Valley. So a tour of the museum, I think one of the most important collections we have here are related to the Hudson River School, which is a 19th century landscape tradition developed by Thomas Cole. And so they're terrific paintings depicting the images from the Hudson River Valley, the Adirondacks, the White Mountains, by a group of artists who spent time in the mountains and were very interested in depicting nature as they found it. So those are wonderful collections that we're very well known for. So that's an important aspect. So that's one trip through the museum, one tour through the museum. There's also a large collection of marble and plaster sculpture by Erastus Dow Palmer, who again was a 19th century artist living in Albany. So we have the largest collections of materials related to Erastus Dow Palmer. And I think you also came to the museum.
Yes.
What was something that struck you that you were interested in?
I know that my rubber chickens were interesting.
you didn't see
the rubber chickens there.
Yes. I didn't have the opportunity to meet you, but I heard all about your chickens and how they travel the world. I think that's quite wonderful.
Yes, I have photos of the things they enjoyed, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The chickens enjoy the Egyptian exhibit,
I was going to just say, I don't want to mix up the places I was, but wasn't this
right.
The place with the Egyptian mummies?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely saw quite a number of museums and toured a number of attractions, but yes, the Institute does have the Egyptian mummies.
Right, and the mummies are a wonderful story, and we are going to be doing a major exhibition highlighting this interesting story related to the mummies in September of 2013, which will be on view for a year. But here's a quick story of the Albany Institute mummies, and we call them the Albany mummies because when the museum built the museum in 1907, the board of directors decided to have two mummies, and they purchased them from the Cairo Museum, and with great fanfare, they came across the ocean to New York City and were put on a steamboat and came up the Hudson to the Albany Institute, where they have been on continuous view since 1907. And they are probably the most popular exhibition in addition to the Hudson River School paintings. And these, what we have are two mummies and two coffins. And through a lot of scholarly research, we have learned that one of our coffins from the 21st dynasty, which is Ankhfenmut's coffin, who was a sculptor and a priest, apparently the Cairo Museum sold the mummy cover to the British Museum, the coffin lid to the museum in Vienna, and the coffin bottom to the Albany Institute. And our exhibition that we're going to be doing in September 2013, we will reunite the coffin for the first time in over 100 years.
Wow. Is this where the where I can use the phrase, I see dead people?
You can. And that's actually a great segue because just a couple of months ago, we had our two mummies x-rayed and CAT scanned. And for 100 years or more, one of our we thought we had a priest and a priestess. As it turns out, we have two priests. And that was done through scientific, you know, the marriage of art and science.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me. At some point, one was in drag and you couldn't tell. Was that?
Well, both of them are wrapped, well wrapped. You know, think of mummies. Okay. So you didn't know. So you, the only way to find out is to do x-rays. And the x-rays revealed that we have two male mummies and not a male and a female.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's great. So not only will you see this reunification of this beautiful 21st dynasty coffin, but Ankh Fenmut will be in his, for the first time, in his proper coffin because now we know who he is.
Oh, good. By the way, one of the chickens just asked me, if you have mummies, do you also have daddies?
Yes, we now have two daddies.
Okay, I assured them, okay. So now I also remember there was a whole thing, let's see, on Washington, George Washington?
Oh, yes.
Look at that. My memory isn't that bad.
Your memory is excellent. Yes, there currently is an exhibition on George Washington, basically the iconography of George Washington and how his image over the last several hundred years has been used to sell all sorts of materials from politics to economics to ceramics to artwork to even cast iron stoves. And
so this is more of an art thing versus a historical thing.
Yeah, it's a combination.
Or hysterical, yeah. I mean. Yeah.
You could be hysterical, too. And I also think while you were here, we had an exhibition called Great, Strange, and Rarely Seen. And that exhibition is still on view, and that included some wonderful musical instruments, and which I heard you had a photograph with your chicken. And then it also includes some 1920s dresses and some... The strangest thing in that exhibition, I think we all would agree, was the jewelry made out of hair, which was very popular during the 19th century.
Ooh.
So, and the hair jewelry, you know, if you people that say, ooh, you know, why would you want to wear somebody else's hair? But during the 19th century, it was very fashionable for women to wear hair pieces in their hair, depending on what the fashion was. So the idea of wearing other people's hairs, partially wigs and hair pieces, was very common. So having jewelry made out of hair was, you know, very acceptable. The other piece about the hair the working with hair, sometimes family members would collect hair from several generations and then create a floral bouquet, if you will, using woven hair. So if you can imagine blonde, black, brown, gray and red hair made with woven flowers. It's pretty interesting to see generations of families represented by their hair color.
Well, okay. That's interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, is there any exhibits like that are going to come up?
Oh, yes. We are currently working on an exhibition that will be opening in September, and it's called American Impressions. And this is a selection of 60 paintings from the Florence Griswold Museum in Old Lyme, Connecticut. And if you like American Impressionist paintings, this would be a terrific exhibition to come and see at the Albany Institute, the home of the American Impressionistic artists is in Old Lyme, Connecticut, and along the Connecticut shore. And it was very similar to Giverny, which was the home of the French Impressionists in Giverny, France, which is just outside of Paris. The idea during the summer months, artists would go to these idyllic places, whether you were in France or in southern Connecticut, and paint outdoors en plein air using the light and the landscape and the mist. And these were art colonies. And in Old Lyme, the art colony was very popular. Artists such as Willard Metcalf, John Twachman, or Hossam came there on a regular basis. So this exhibition will highlight the American Impressionist artists. So we're very, very much looking forward to presenting that in the fall. And starting in January, we are going to be doing a major exhibition highlighting our Hudson River School landscape painters and the whole idea about what is a Hudson River School landscape, because there are many painters were working during the 19th century, and which ones are the Hudson River School artists and which ones were just American landscape painters. So we'll be focusing on that question with probably about 100 paintings from the museum's collection.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be great.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, the location. Where are you located exactly?
The Albany Institute of History and Art is located on 125 Washington Avenue in Albany, New York. We're a block from the New York State Capitol Building, which is an extraordinary piece of architecture in addition to a political center, and about 2 or 3 miles from the river, the Hudson River. And if you are interested in finding out more information, of course, we have a website, which is www.albanyinstitute.org. And there you can find a lot of information about other programs and exhibits.
Okay. How many floors are in the building?
There are 2 floors of exhibitions. So we have a combination of changing exhibitions and permanent exhibitions. And the permanent exhibition, we do always have on view, as I mentioned, our 2 mummies and a variety of other ancient Egyptian artifacts. The 19th century sculpture gallery is always on view. We have an exhibition highlighting the colonial history, that Albany is a Dutch city founded by the Dutch as a during the 17th century. So we have a lot of materials related to our Dutch heritage on view at all times, as well as a large painting gallery with over 100 18th and 19th century paintings, American
That's
paintings
cool.
and sculpture.
That's great. How about in the past, have there been any, like, a temporary exhibit or collection that struck you?
In the past here at the Albany Institute? We've done some. During 2009, there, New York State and Canada celebrated a major holiday or anniversary called Hudson 400. We celebrated the 400 years of settlement and life in the Hudson Valley. So the Albany Institute presented an exhibition called Hudson River Panorama, where we looked at, again, 100 years of history, art, and culture. And that was a major exhibition. And another exhibition prior to that is we worked on the 350th anniversary of the city of Albany, thinking about our Dutch heritage. We pulled together an exhibition of 75 paintings, and they're European paintings, Dutch paintings, highlight 17th and 16th and 17th century Dutch paintings highlighting food and foodways, and interiors and genre scenes. And really the whole idea behind it was the Dutch were great traders. They left the Netherlands. They settled in the Hudson Valley. And what were the art and cultural traditions that they left behind? So that for that, we had major loans from all over the United States of European Dutch paintings highlighting Dutch foodways.
Do you
and
have
there was a recipe book, too.
Yeah. Oh. Is anything really tasty?
Yes, you would be surprised. The Dutch foodways, if you like donuts or coleslaw or cookies, those all came from the Dutch.
Dipping a donut into the coleslaw dressing. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah. What about you do anything for kids?
Oh, of course. Oh, yes, of course. All of our exhibitions are. We
notice how I got that in.
Work closely, yes, work closely with the schools. And right now, during the summer, we have a very interesting art camp going on, where students, whether they're from 4 to 7 or 9 to 11, spend time in the galleries looking at sculpture and paintings and Egyptian artifacts, and then they work in the art room to create artwork related to the materials that they see.
That's great. That's great to hear that kids can, well, especially in the summertime, they don't have to worry about, that they have school.
Right. But then during the school, of course, the educational programs are really terrific. And, the museum, children are really able to learn from looking at the actual objects. And that's always very exciting, especially in this day of digital imaging. It's nice to see, to have access to all these images. But when you actually see a painting or a piece of sculpture, you can look at the size and the color, the sculpture, you can walk around, and marble sculpture in particular, some of it just sparkles depending on what kind of marble the artist used, and that's something that you can't see when you're looking at a digital image, so it's great to see the actual piece.
Great, that's fabulous. Well, I think we,
if you're a member of the Albany Institute, it's free. Otherwise, it's $10 for a regular admission, and we also have special rates for students and seniors.
Oh, good. What do they consider seniors? I always wonder, some places, 55, 60, what are they, curious.
That's a very good question. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But Skylar, are you on the Albany
AARP
Institute website?
AARP gets lost for 50
years
old.
I am on the website. it just says seniors.
Seniors.
$8.
So it's seniors $8. Well, I
wondered about that only because, as I said, it's like you start off when you turn 50, AARP suddenly decides you're a senior at 50. But then, you don't get all the perks.
Right. Maybe the perks are graduated. As the older you get, the more perks you get. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we got a great tour. And Tamas, I really appreciate your calling in and telling us about the Albany Institute of Science and Art and History. Art and History. Okay.
Yes.
I will have to write down the full name on the on my description here. That's also because this is all, by the way, see, the thing is, what happens is that once I can go back in my memory and re-experience things. if I remember exactly where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
When we talk about the other museum,
yes,
it's like right now I can't. I will have to like try to remember.
Don't worry, that's what I'm here for.
That's what you're there for. Okay, Tamas, great speaking with you, and again, thanks for sharing the information.
Great, very nice to talk to you, and good luck and have fun.
Thanks.
You've got a great job. Bye bye.
Bye. So, it may be just you and I, Skyla, huh?
That is correct.
Okay. Our next. Oh, by the way, Skyla, introduce yourself to my wonderful audience here.
Well, my name is Skyla Bull, and I am the marketing manager at the Albany County Convention and Visitors Bureau. So basically, it's my job to, and it's my pleasure to welcome visitors to Albany, New York, and to show them some of our favorite spots around town.
Well, you know what? Let's go to where your office is.
Sure.
I didn't really tour it. I know that it wasn't just the where you can't buy a golf shirt.
Exactly. Well, unfortunately, we didn't have any golf shirts in stock, but we do have many other wonderful gifts that people do seem to enjoy. We are located at historic Quackenbush Square, and it's not just a funny name. It is actually used to be a street here in Albany. And what they did actually, as years progressed, they tore down some historic row houses, but they maintained one of the buildings, and it turned it into the city waterworks office because we're located right down near the mighty Hudson River. So they converted our office and eventually became the Albany Convention and Visitors Bureau, as well as the Albany Heritage Area Visitor Center. And so here we have a lot of great features. It's not only an information center for visitors, but we also have exhibits on the USS Albany, as well as a neat little museum about the history of Albany. We have a planetarium, which is an official NASA space place, where Hugh Merle experienced the Albany orientation video. It's a short 10-minute video that gives a good background on the history of Albany and our industries and the people that make up Albany today. And throughout the visitor center, there's also a wonderful art exhibit that changes out every 2 months. And what you saw, Merle, was actually the Living Resources art exhibit. And it's a wonderful exhibit of pieces of work by adults and children with disabilities. And it's a beautiful display, and a lot of people enjoy that. It's one of our favorite exhibits.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a pretty neat office, don't I, Merle?
Yeah, you do. That's not so bad.
No, it's not.
Okay. Let us go to the art museum.
Sure. Well, actually, Tamas was the art museum. Are you thinking the New York State Museum?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. Okay. Well, the New York State Museum, it's a beautiful structure. It's located on the Empire State Plaza here in Albany, and it makes up part of our very stunning skyline. It's actually not just a museum, but it's also the State Library and State Archives. And so it's an 11-story building, beautiful architecture, and it's one of the largest and the oldest state museums in the nation. As you enter the State Museum, you basically follow the formation of New York State in terms of a geological sense. There's a great exhibit on the mountain ranges of Albany, the Adirondack Mountains and the Catskills, and some of the minerals you can find in the ground. But there's also some great pieces about Albany's past and New York State's past. They have pretty neat excavation findings in displays, such as old rum vats, an old coffin, and some recreations of what people may have looked like here in Albany a few years back, and you could see some of the diseases that they may have had or some bad dental work, but that was life back then. So it's a pretty neat way to experience New York State's history. As the museum goes on, it goes through the kind of the Adirondack Mountains and how tourism kind of became popular here in New York through the Adirondack Mountains, and they have some great exhibits, and they even have an old car. I forget what the name is, but very rare car. And then they also have some fun exhibits for children, a great children's area, very hands-on, since a lot of museums don't allow children to touch or run around. This is a great area for children to really get their energy out and experience history and kind of learn in a fun, unique setting. As the museum progresses, there's exhibits on, there's the birds and the wildlife. It goes into a great part. My favorite part of the museum goes through, there's some fossils of a mastodon that was found right near here in Cohoes, as well as a large whale reconstruction. And then there's also places where you can learn about Staten Island and New York City and Harlem, including a very moving 9/11 exhibit. And I believe it's one of the first exhibits that was created. And it's quite a moving exhibit, creates quite a bit of emotions for some people, but it includes the trailer that the families use to kind of get some rest and recharge as they were searching for family members. Includes a fire truck that was badly damaged, as well as pieces of the actual towers themselves and some of the artifacts that they found at the Freshkills. Losing the word here, Freshkills landfill.
Oh, okay.
So,
Do I also remember, but I don't think, I'm looking, I have like, you know, the photos,
sure,
things that I had, but I seem to remember something regarding, it wasn't the Holocaust, was it? No, something having to do with... Is that what it was?
It wasn't the Holocaust. It was part where I'm trying to remember the story, but... it's actually just a tiny little exhibit, but it's also very moving. Puts you right into the mindset. I think it was a camp that is near Oswego, New York, where a lot of Jewish families were forced to live, and that the conditions weren't great, and especially for Oswego, New York, they get a lot of snow, and it's very cold, being right off of Lake Ontario. And you can tell that the conditions were just not that great, very desolate. So there is an exhibit on that as well. You're correct.
Okay. I'm remembering, the brain is now walking around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at photos, and the brain is kind of walking around the place.
And you'll probably remember the old subway car that's also in the museum. And you said that you remember riding on those old subway cars.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. So it's pretty neat. You can crawl right up in there and have a seat on the old subway car. And actually right near there is also an exhibit on Sesame Street. And they actually have part of the original set right there for kids. That's also a fun spot for kids. They can see Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch and things. Hey, I like it too. I'm a fan of Sesame Street.
What's the cost for that one? Do you know?
The New York State Museum is actually free, but they do take donations, as would be expected. So it's free for anyone. You can walk right in, and you can spend hours in the museum. I believe we only had an hour or so there, and it was a whirlwind tour. And we weren't even able to go up to the fourth floor, which features a restored carousel, which is also free to ride, and that's another huge hit with the kids, and they have a few other neat exhibits up there as well, and a beautiful, beautiful vista of the Empire State Plaza.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, before we get to talking about the Capitol building, I have to break a sec, about a minute for one of our sponsors. Please, and Skyla, try not to drool when you hear
Okay.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful tasting brownies. Believe me, they are good. Anyway, at www.brownies.com, and if you happen to live on the west coast of the United States, you can get them in some of the stores. Otherwise, you just got to send away for these wonderful. Okay, I'm cutting down on sugar. Okay, so. So let's forget that. Let's go to the Capitol building. Oh, by the way, the place that we ate at.
The place we ate, Melville's Mug.
Yes. That was a cute little place. And it was also that area. What's that area?
That area is called Clinton Square.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Melville's Mug is actually the former home of Herman Melville. He's the author of such popular novels as Moby Dick. So it has a pretty neat nautical theme inside.
It's like a cafe kind of thing. I mean, it's not, you know.
Little cafe, coffee, little sandwiches, things like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of my favorite
spots. I also noticed that's where there were trolleys there? No, not a trolley. Was there a trolley tour?
Trolleys, yes, Albany does have some trolleys that offer tours, mainly charter tours right now. And the company that owned it got sold, and so they used to do aqueduct rides, but not anymore, unfortunately.
Okay.
But they are going through a transition process, so hopefully we'll get some sort of tour service here. Right now, as an alternative, we have a walking tour. People can pick up a brochure here at the Albany Visitor Center. And if they want to go for a cruise on the river, there's also a few companies that offer cruises, such as the Dutch Apple Cruises and the JP Cruise Line.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be something to do on a day like today.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's sunshine up here, too.
Yeah. And, okay, so now let's get over to the Capitol building, which...
Okay.
Did you say it's like the only Capitol building that doesn't have a dome?
Not the only one. It was the first one without a dome, but it's actually one of, I believe, 9 or 10 state capitals that don't have a dome. And like I said, it's the first one, and for a number of reasons. The first and foremost, I think it was a cost issue. This New York State Capitol building took well over 30 years to build, and was at the time the most expensive publicly funded building, at a cost of, in 1860s dollars, $25 million, which would be equivalent to about $500 million today. That's a billion dollars.
Wow.
So after over 30 years of construction, the governor came into office and he said, no more, finish it. I don't want any more construction. And so they didn't have time to complete the dome, which was probably a good idea because the Capitol is built on top of State Street Hill. And if they put the dome on there, very heavy structure made of stone, they feared that the ground wouldn't be able to support it and the building would have a lot of structural issues with that dome on it. So, no dome.
Oh. Okay. So, is there a way, well, when you're dealing, let's say, the skyline, is there a way to spot it? Is there something about?
Well, it depends where you're coming in. If you're coming from the south, The most striking feature will be the Empire State Plaza, and that's the, I believe there's five towers that really stand out above the rest of the skyline. If you follow that, again, if you're coming from the south, and you follow those five tall buildings all the way to your right, you will see a building that has a red roof and very Romanesque style architecture, and that is the New York State Capitol. Now, if you're coming from the north and you're on Interstate 787 coming into the city, you will definitely see it. You get a much better vantage point from the north.
Okay. So, now let's go inside.
Okay. Yeah, heading inside the New York State Capitol, there are tours that are offered at no charge, and those start actually in the concourse of the Empire State Plaza. That's underground, and they start there and are free. But you can also, if you have a large group, reserve a tour. And we actually got a tour from Stuart Lehman. He's very knowledgeable, has been doing the tours for about 10 years, and was recently in the New York Times for his Capitol Hauntings tour. Each October, Stuart gives tours of the Capitol and tells the stories of the people that haunt the halls of the New York State Capitol. It's a very, very fun tour. But the structure, as I mentioned, construction started in 1867 and was completed in 1899. So it's quite a historic structure. Not the easiest structure to get into if you have any disabilities, but there are options available for you, and there are elevators that are working throughout the building. There are three main staircases, and the most notable one is called the $1 million staircase, because at the time it cost well over $1 million to construct. And it features stone carvings. Stone carvings are actually throughout the building, but in this $1 million staircase, the stone carvers were given a list of names to carve into the stone. And once they completed that list, they still had quite a large amount of surface to cover with faces. So they were told to just carve whoever they'd like. So maybe people that they saw on the side of the street, family members, which are confirmed. And there's even a tiny little Capitol demon, which pokes his little face out. Very hard to spot. If you didn't know he was there, he'd walk right past it. But the stone carvers definitely had a sense of humor when working. And a lot of the stone carvers spent their entire careers on this building alone.
Do you happen to know where they were from?
Like their country of origin?
Yeah.
I believe they were mostly Italian. But
It's funny that you should say that, because I seem to find this pattern, and I don't know, this must have been an entire, like, group thing of stone carvers from Italy coming to the United States. And I think I was in Indianapolis, and it was the whole thing there.
Okay.
But I think that's it was interesting to find that that when they came here that they had work waiting
right.
for them.
Right. And 30 years of work on one building alone here in Albany.
Wow.
Some politician or some group of politicians somewhere thought that this was a good idea. And it actually went through three or four different architects. So the style, the original style has changed, and you can kind of see that throughout the layers of the building. The base layer looks different than the next layer above it, which looks different than the top layer. So it's a very interesting structure.
And this is where the State Assembly meet.
The State
Assembly
and the State Senate, correct.
Oh, and the State Senate. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
That's right. And I keep forgetting. Now, when you said the State Senate, meaning like, not like Charles Schumer.
No,
but like your local
not
senator.
The, right, correct.
Okay.
Not Schumer or Gillibrand, I think is the other one.
Right.
Not them, but you're correct, kind of the many state senators that we have, correct. Yep, and they meet in separate chambers. The Assembly Chamber is gorgeous, a little more inviting to the public. people can walk right into the assembly chamber. And what's unfortunate about the assembly chamber is the original roof was vaulted, and it was a beautiful roof, but due to structural concerns, they had to reinforce it and cover it up. So now it's a flat wood panel roof. But there's some beautiful murals that are painted right onto the stone, and those are the lost murals of the New York State Capitol because they can't lift it from the stone. It would obviously ruin it, and it wasn't painted on any canvas material or wood, so they can't move it. So those are forever encased in the roof of the Assembly Chamber. Being more of a public chamber, there are a few things on display throughout the chamber, one of which is a clock that actually looked over Abraham Lincoln twice. Once in the original New York State Capitol building, which is a wooden structure built just east of the current New York State Capitol, and Abraham Lincoln came through on his train tour when elected and spoke here at the New York State Capitol, and that clock overlooked him in the Senate chamber. But also after Abraham Lincoln was executed, he laid in state in the New York State Capitol overnight, and that clock also overlooked his body when he was laying in state. And that clock is on display now as part one of Governor Cuomo's efforts to bring out more historical pieces into the public view. And you can see that throughout the New York State Capitol, as we saw on our tour. The Senate chamber is much more grandiose. It has a lot of gold leaf on the woodwork and a lot more stone carvings, and you don't have as much access to the floor of the state Senate chamber. You kind of look down over the senators. And from that view, you can actually see quite a number of stone carvings that are not complete, which just kind of speak to the massive scale of this construction project. The stone carvers, when they're told, were told to put their tools down, literally put their tools down and stopped working. So a lot of the stone carvings are not complete, and you can see all different stages of the carvings right there in the New York State Senate chamber.
Now, I also want to mention about, I almost had some chutzpah. I'm telling you, really. Well, it's while we were there, what I wanted to do is take a photo of where my assemblyman sits.
Yes.
And something happened to be going on there.
Yes.
Tell us what it was that was happening.
Well, the New York State Capitol building is a great spot for group tours. And at the time we were touring, there was actually a school group. And I'm not sure if it was a school group or like a young Republicans or young Democrats group or something like that. But they were actually listening to a lecture by one of our state assemblymen, local state assemblyman, Jack McEnany. And so he was speaking up at the podium, and the students were down in the assemblymen's and assemblywomen's chairs, and unfortunately one of those chairs was your assembly member's chair, and so we didn't want to interrupt the assembly member McEnany from his speech. So we tried, but we just couldn't make it happen.
You know, you know what I should have done? I should
what's
have.
That?
I Yeah, that's what I should have done.
Yeah,
I should have had one of them interrupt.
Oh, well, there
and then
you go.
What could he say? Can
I
they
think
say
he would
a
be...
rubber chicken interrupted me?
I think he would be quite speechless.
Okay. Now, oh, by the way, when you went to the session here in New York, did you
yeah.
are you winding up like pairing up with another tourism office in New York State?
Well, New York State is divided up into 12 regions, tourism regions. And so we are within the capital Saratoga region. And so we have teamed up with our partners throughout this area, us and our neighboring counties. And so we went down to a trade show to meet other travel writers down there.
Okay, so in other words, I should prepare to schedule a press trip to see Saratoga area?
Yes, and we have contacts there, and we can help you set up an itinerary with that. We have the contacts there to get you started.
And would I also be coming into Albany via Amtrak to do this?
You could, yes. Amtrak has great service. They actually run a number of trains daily from New York City up here to the Albany Rensselaer Station, which is the 9th or 10th busiest Amtrak station in the nation. And you basically hop right on, and it's a beautiful 2.5-hour train ride right up the coast of the Hudson River, and drops you off here in Albany. And so, yes, if you came up to Saratoga, you could take another train ride right on up to Albany here, and then we'd get you up to Saratoga one way or another.
So I'm just curious, is there's not a next stop that takes you to that area?
No, not that I'm aware of. I believe the train takes a left turn and heads out west towards Syracuse, but I could be wrong on that.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I can actually take Amtrak to Syracuse then?
You can take it to Syracuse and Buffalo and all the way out through the...
How about Thousand Islands?
Thousand Islands, you'd have to get off at Syracuse and drive up Interstate 81 to get up to the Thousand Islands.
I'm just curious, would you know how far it is from
I would.
Syracuse?
I'm actually from the Thousand Islands region. So from Albany, it's about 3.5 hours to the Thousand Islands. From Syracuse, it would be about 1 hour and 20 minutes to 1 hour and 45 minutes, depending on
where. Oh, okay, because that's one of the places I want to visit is Thousand Islands, because I've never been there.
It's a beautiful spot, and, there's lots of castles and islands, and obviously, as you know, the Thousand Islands dressing is a big to-do about
right.
that up there.
And you're stepping it all over the place.
That's right.
Yeah, it's on the streets, all over. I'll call you after this, and you can give me the contact person for that area as well.
Perfect.
Since I wasn't able to go, and if you do happen to find a golf shirt,
I have my eyes peeled for you, and I promise you.
All right,
I'll
settle for a really nice T-shirt. How's that?
Okay.
In case
all right.
you can't find it.
That works.
Now, also, I'm sure there were places that we didn't get to visit. Oh, let's go. Oh, yeah, I want to get back to Amtrak. Oh, we should have the, what's his name? The guy.
Cliff.
Yeah, Cliff.
He is unable to make it. He's unfortunately out sick today.
Oh, okay. Because I understand they're doing now e-tickets.
They have e-tickets, and they are joining the ranks of a lot of other transportation providers. So you can actually make your reservation online and view that reservation on your phone. And instead of having to come to the train station to pick up your ticket, you can actually have the ticket right there on your mobile phone. You can still print it out if you'd like, or you can just take your mobile phone or your iPad and show the conductor, and
wow.
it will suffice. Yes. So quite a convenient tool for those traveling. And you can actually make your reservation changes online. You can do a lot more through their e-ticketing service.
Well, one thing that I did get to notice, I mean, like if when people say, oh, but it's, you know, takes like an hour if I took the plane, and it takes like 3 hours if I take Amtrak. But to have to consider the amount of time that you have to get to the airport.
Right.
And be
go
there.
Through security.
Go through security and so on and so forth before you get that hour.
Right. And
so
consider the cost, too.
It could be longer and
more costly.
Yeah.
It definitely could. Now, Albany does have a very nice regional airport, a regional international airport. We are the hub for this region, but for air travel. But yes, if you're coming from a destination like New York City, it definitely is worth it to take the train. It saves you time and saves you money.
Okay. Now, also, what I have to do is I'm going to do another break for a, well, where we go? I'm going to break for another commercial of another sponsor. I don't know. Somebody's trying to call in, but I don't care. but I'm going to break for, well, they're not really calling. Someone's like calling my home. And I hate,
oh, okay.
I always hate to, but that's okay. You know, they'll call back and, or somebody, what people tend to do sometimes is, and then they call me. And then it's like, no, you got to call the station. But anyway, let's take one quick break again, another sponsor, and then we'll get right back.
Okay. Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra legroom.
Uh-huh. We have extra legroom as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Isn't that cute, that commercial?
That is funny.
One of the things that, I mean, I would Amtrak like on the negative side, actually, is Amtrak doesn't go everywhere you want to go. That's the only negative thing.
That is a negative, yes. I mean, your other alternative is a car, and that can take you anywhere you'd like to go.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Anyway, so what places did I miss? Like,
well,
I'm sure there
something that we had on the itinerary, but you know, it was a long day. We actually had Park Playhouse on the itinerary, and this is actually
something that's a lot of fun. Tell us about it.
Park Playhouse is actually it's a free outdoor theater here in Albany's historic Washington Park, and right on our lake, we have a beautiful lake house. Which they turn into a stage, and it's right at this amphitheater that's built right into the ground. And from Tuesday through Saturday nights, Tuesday through Sunday nights, at 8 p.m., there's free theater. And this year's two shows were Cabaret, which just ended last month, and what started actually just a few nights ago was Hairspray. So two fun theater pieces that you can see here in Washington Park out underneath the stars. The weather cools down a little bit, and you can bring your blankets, you can bring food, and you can have a great night of free entertainment here in Albany.
And I remember the statue.
Yes. Actually, it's a fountain. We went through Washington Park and in the garden area.
The doggies were having a great time.
They were, yes, and it's a very popular spot for the dogs. They jump right in the little pond there and cool down, but it's a beautiful statue.
Why, do you have any idea why they picked that or what the statue?
I'm not sure why they picked that one exactly. It's titled Moses Smiting the Rock, and it features Moses, a large Moses, with his staff up in the air, and he's on a pile of huge pieces of rock, and around the rock, water is kind of spurting out, and there are four figures each representing a different stage of life. So infancy, childhood, adulthood, and late life, elderly. So I'm not sure what exactly the symbolism is, but it's a beautiful statue, and we're glad to have it.
Now, this also, which I didn't get an opportunity, maybe you could tell us about the other theater?
Sure, and there's actually a few. The Palace Theater is located just right next door to Melville's Muck, where we had lunch, and that is it used to be the RKO Theater, and it was built pre-Depression and went through a number of different changes, but right now they offer a huge lineup each year of different acts. So it could be anything from rock bands to Irish music to, gosh, anything under the sun. So that's the Palace Theater. And then a little ways down South Pearl Street, Pearl Street, is the Capitol Repertory Theater. And that is a smaller theater, very small stage, fits about 100, 150 people. And you can catch some great shows there as well.
Cool. So let's see, what else do we got? So we got theater, we got the art.
Yeah,
we've
got our history. We've got a lot of nature, too. And that's something that you, I guess, didn't get to see a lot of.
No.
Albany is a wonderful city, and we are surrounded by some beautiful nature. So up to the north of us is the Adirondack Mountains. To the south is the Catskill Mountains. And it's just beautiful scenery. So if we go to the state park, the Thatcher Park, it's actually located a few miles west of Albany. Visitors can go up top of the Helderberg Escarpment, is what it's called, and it's one of the largest fossil-bearing rock formations in the area. And you can take hiking trails all the way up to the top, and when you get there, you get a beautiful view of Albany skyline from a vantage point that not a lot of people get. We have a number of beautiful apple orchards, and we also have those apple orchards have also created apple wine, so there's a number of wineries in the area as well. And speaking of wineries, we also have a number of microbreweries, including one right next door to my office. I'm actually looking out the window at it, the C.H. Evan Brewing Company at the Albany Pump Station. And they have a number of award-winning beers. And right next door to that also is a brand-new distillery, the Albany Distilling Company. And they're distilling their first batches of rum, I believe, will be their first product.
Oh, I just realized why I didn't do all of this.
Because we could have, would have been going to bed a lot sooner. You would have missed out on your beautiful dinner at Yono's restaurant, which I hear you had a great time at.
Oh, yeah. Food is great. I'm going to have to see if I can get, well, I don't know about getting him on, the chef, but maybe his wife can come on. And I'm sure she knows about the food to get them to talk about it.
Right, his son is quite the sommelier and also owns the area right outside the restaurant, the bar area, DP's, which is also very well known for its food and drinks.
Yeah, because I noticed it was like there were two kind of places to dine.
Right, one is a little more casual, that would be DP's, and a little more casual, and the food isn't, huge entrees, but it's just good food. And then you can go into the Yono's restaurant, and that's the very upscale restaurant, which serves, what did you enjoy during your tasting menu?
Well, I wasn't as much as enjoy, and I did enjoy it, is what was odd that I had, which was kangaroo.
Mm. That's right.
And it tastes like kangaroo.
As it should.
Yes. Actually, okay, the best way I could describe it is it tasted like a lean beef.
Mm.
That's the best way I could describe it. A lean beef without a gamey taste.
Interesting.
So I tried that. I also tried had some alligator as
okay.
well. Those are the two things that kind of stood out that I had. Everything was absolutely delicious. I'll go into that another time. When I blog it, you know,
there
I
you
can go.
Go
through the photos and all of that. But I would highly recommend it. I stayed at the Comfort Inn? Was it the...
You stayed at the Comfort Inn and Suites on Wolf Road. And that's actually not right in downtown Albany. That's out in Colony, actually. And Wolf Road is a very popular destination. It's right near all of the shopping centers, right near Crossgates Mall, as well as Colony Center and Stuyvesant Plaza, even. So a lot of people, if they want to go shopping or eating out at their favorite chain restaurants, that's definitely where they go.
Yeah, that's a rather nice place. We had, there was a whole group because this was part of my sports tour. Well, I've
sports
got
travel and tours, I believe.
Correct. Right, sports travel and tour, and that's where we stayed. It was just, a really nice place. And they had a breakfast, continental. Well, I would go a little more than continental. Continental breakfast, it's interesting how it expanded. Because continental breakfast used to be that you had, you just had, I guess, bread things, if you want to call it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But now continental breakfast, at most places, they add something hot, or even if not hard boiled eggs or some kind of protein. Let's just, so that was nice. And I noticed that they did have bacon and eggs. But wait a minute. But we went out that Monday morning.
We didn't have breakfast there. We decided to head out.
No, where did we go?
And I did want to make a note that Comfort Inn & Suites has undergone a recent renovation. So it's
uh-huh.
a beautiful space, and it's all brand new, smells like new carpet and everything.
Oh, that's what that smell was. That delightful smell. I'm going,
new carpet.
Clean
I think
here.
It's new carpet or new paint or something, but new bedspreads, anything. It was all new. But you definitely won't smell pool chlorine or anything like that. But... we decided to go out to breakfast at Panera Bread.
Oh, right. That's where. Panera Bread. Which is all over the place. I have one about a half a mile from my house.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about that place, I mean, not only like the bread itself, and all the pastries, but they usually have like free Wi-Fi. You could sit there. People come in there. And,
oh, yeah.
Just,
you can sit and have a meeting, or as we did, we sat.
I could do my radio show there.
You could, right.
and
they won't
this.
Kick you out or anything. They'll,
no,
they'll
I could
let
do
you
this.
Sit
have
right
my
there
cell
for hours.
Phone. Yeah, use my cell phone, and I got to try that just for the heck of it.
Why not?
One of these days. So
bring
anyway.
Bring Esther and Eunice with you.
Yes, I'll bring the chickens with me. I'm sure they'll... get a kick out of it.
I'm sure they will.
And,
we'll get some sort of reaction, I'm sure.
Yeah. So did I miss anything about the Comfort Inn?
Not
you
that I know
was,
of.
I don't remember.
You're the one who slept
there?
In the bed. Was it was
That's
it comfy?
True. Oh, yeah. Well, it was comfortable.
Good. And I knew that there was plenty of parking and the service was great. So.
Yes. Yeah, that everybody was really nice there, and they have for me, I didn't have to schlep my computer.
That's right.
They do have and that's one thing I like about going to a place where they have a if you want to call like a business center, you know, kind of thing. And you can, you know, go online and check your email, you know, without paying for it. You know, a lot of like major hotels won't do that. You just no. It's like there's a company that comes in and has that space, and you have to pay for it. But of course, if you do go to these major hotels, chances are like they may give you free Wi-Fi if you're bringing your computer in your room, that kind of thing, or you pay a certain amount per day. So this was another nice thing about the Comfort Inn and the service, of course.
Of course.
And the people. Everybody's very friendly. Well, did we miss anything? Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty that we missed, but you know, I think that's a good overview of Albany and everything that you've seen, at least.
Okay. And, of course, I was just wondering, I didn't even think about that. In terms of coming in by air at the airport, you can't come in from New York, can you? Is there any planes that come from LaGuardia or JFK to Albany?
I am not sure about that. I'm really not sure.
I have to check it because we'll see. Because the assembly people here, I don't know how whether they drive or take Amtrak or, I don't know. I wouldn't say jet. It could be a twin engine plane for all I know. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
I just pulled up the website, and you can come in via Newark. Through United Airlines.
So you have to first go to New Jersey.
Right.
I see. Okay. Well, I think what I'm going to do is let you go, although I'm going to get back to you in a little while to find out about some other things to do. And so I'm going to just talk a bit about some of the recent shows that I saw on Broadway, off-Broadway.
Nice.
And then I'm going to get a glass of water.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Okay. So hopefully whoever it was that needed to call me will call back.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But it's probably, what it probably is, and I hate when they do this. I keep getting this call. They want, it's about a credit card. They say, to get a better credit card or something like that or better, But each time they call, they say, this is the last time we're going to call you about it. They don't say this. This is the computer thing, And it's, this is the last time. And then I'm thinking, when is it going to be the last time? And then when I press, to talk to somebody, I just say to them, tell me, is this the last time? Because this is what you say. And the person answering the phone says, I don't know anything about it, or what they say to you. Okay. Anyway.
Not fun.
So who knows? It could have been one of those. Anyway, so have a good day. I'll get back to you in a little while.
Great. And if anyone has any questions about Albany, they can visit our website.
Yes. Oh, what's the website?
The website is very simple. It's www.albany.org.
Okay. Great. Okay. Talk to you later, Skylar.
All right. Thanks, Merle.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So... chat a bit. I saw an off-Broadway show called The Last Smoker in America. Let's see. It basically dealt with four people, mother, father, son, and the and the token black lady who lived next door. And the whole thing was smoking was banned in the in the entire United States. And Pam, the wife, was the last smoker in America. And she'd been having a lot of trouble quitting, and she had like one cigarette in the house. All right. Now, the son, I couldn't figure out how old he was supposed to be, but I got he was supposed to be a teenager. The teenager kept on asking for cookies. And I don't know, I mean, he didn't ask him because of this, but the Pam, the wife, had the cigarettes in the cookie jar. Anyway, but, and he also decided at some point he wanted to be black. I don't know, he wasn't taking, I think, his hyper pill. Well, I'm going to, I'm going to play a song here and answer this.
Baby cried the day the circus came to town, 'cause she didn't want parades just passing by her. She painted on a smile.
I was going to... I can't believe it. I was joking about who was calling me. And when I pressed this thing to, it was them. It was the card services calling again to tell me it was the last time they're calling me. Oh, God. Oh. Anyway, so to get back to the show, okay, so the husband now, he was unemployed, and his thing was to be a rock star. The couple of middle-aged. It was mostly songs. It was pretty good, except the, the storyline was choppy kind of thing. That's other than that. Talent was good. I would recommend it because this kind of like, in terms of like, it was entertaining. Let's put it that way. It was entertaining and the talent was good. Now, compared to, well, you can't compare, okay, but last night I saw the play Bring It On, the musical, which was a kind of, and I'll call it like Glee with cheerleaders. And I have absolutely nothing bad to say about it. This was really, I mean, if you just to be entertained just by the cheerleading acrobatics alone, but the score was excellent. The storyline of this was. Okay, this woman who's, I guess, gets to be captain of the cheerleading, of her cheerleading squad, is suddenly informed that because of some reason the school district changed and she's no longer going to be at that school, but this her next door neighbor, this who looks up to her and is gets to be on this on the squad. Seems that her mother is on the school board. So what happens is that when she's when our lead is switched to another school, she looks for something similar, but they don't have that. But they have, like, they do hip-hop dancing, singing instead kind of stuff. And they wind up competing. I'm not going to tell you the ending because it doesn't matter. But it's all about the fun in, like, the fun in doing all of this. So the whole thing is, in terms of seeing the show, I highly recommend it. It's at the St. James Theater in Manhattan. I think the thing that makes it stand out is because with the cheerleading, it's like you're not only applauding, you know, after each song, which is, and I guess those that are singing are great, but, I mean, you're applauding the acrobatics in the cheerleading itself. So I highly recommend it. I will be reviewing it and probably be able to give some more information on the choreography, et cetera. But I do understand that in terms of the cast, which they're all unknown, they actually casted cheerleaders to do this. I'm going to end the show now and have something to eat, drink, or whatever, and be merry. Everybody, have a great day, evening, morning, afternoon, whatever it is when you listen to the show. And not sure what I'm doing next, but I may even get it something this week to cover, or next week. Because next week I'm going to see Dina Martin, and which is the daughter of Dean Martin, who's going to sing Dean Martin songs at Feinstein's in New York City. So until the next show, keep healthy and cool. Ta-ta.